Okay, we're finishing up marketing now. We're gonna go through this model, talk. You know, this will stimulate some questions, and we invite those. And marketing is so important. You notice the cornerstones of a business, out of the four, two of them are marketing. The reason for that, it's just, if we understand marketing, we sell and we have revenues. If we don't, we can be pretty lonely. And being lonely without sales and revenue is not a good place. So here we go. Small business marketing. This, we need to turn off this group of lights just for a minute, then we'll go back, turn back on. Okay, we've discussed it. You talked together in your lemonade stands about the marketing concept. Understand it, know it, and be on track, be on course for what you want to accomplish. And it just has to be customer driven. That came out a couple of times in a fun way where some of you said your customers were going to do this because you wanted them to. Well, you're going to do this because they want you to. So it has to be customer driven, no options. World-class marketing means an external customer orientation. And these are kind of trite statements, but to really bring them to the surface every day in the operation of a business is critically important and takes a lot of work and attention to detail. So external customer orientation is just constant. And one of the weaknesses of a lot of business operators, they can be good technicians, technically very sound at whatever they're trying to do, and have a tendency to get a little tunnel visioned into their technical expertise while their customers are out there saying, I feel lonely, you're not paying attention to me. You're just looking at your computer all day or whatever. And the customer starts to think about, well, maybe that competitor's proposal isn't so bad after all. I've seen and heard from them three times to every time I've heard from my current supplier. And you don't want to get into that position because that's a recipe for losing customers, and no one can afford to lose customers. So it starts with the principle of any business that they are orientated to their customer. Not the time to say, wow, this would be a great business if it wasn't for those pain in the neck customers that aggravate us every day.
Bothers.
That's not going to work, is it? It's just not going to work. So you ever feel that way or say that, you better make some quick turnarounds and some repenting from your errors, because that won't work. The customers, just like cash is king, right next to the king cash in the success of your business is your customer. Joe.
You know, you laugh at that, but I went into a store, it's the one after Garth Brothers had sold, and I was looking for some temp holes, and I had to initiate every step of this clerk is, you know, do you carry these? Yes, we do. No offer to take me there. You know, so I finally found them, and then I found the ones I wanted, and it got down to the point that when I brought it up in the cash register where he's standing, I had to say, may I buy these? Oh, yes, we can do that. I mean, it was unbelievable. Yeah. But people do that.
Absolutely. And it's a responsibility of the business owner operator to train and monitor and follow up and check up on all of the employees and members of that team that they are all bringing that kind of an attitude that the customer needs and demands, you know, on every transaction. Was it Bill? Yes,
yeah.
Bill?
Can you give me an example of external customer orientation?
Okay. I thought I went right on to it now. It doesn't. There's internal customer orientation and external.
Okay.
Okay. External is, it's the customer. That's just the customer. Your internal customer are the employees of the organization that depend on each other for support And there has to be an internal customer orientation, which means the company culture is we care about each other, we're here to support each other, and we recognize that you can't get your part of the puzzle put together if I'm not doing my part, and then who's going to be the victim of our inefficiency?
The customer.
The customer that's paying our paychecks, the customer that's making our life go forward. So ultimate customer is the external, then the internal is the employees of the organization. Let's see, a couple of questions, Jerry, and then Matt.
Nope, you answered mine.
Okay, Matt?
I was just gonna say, I've been in an organization before where the production never quite figured out that the sales were the people who dealt with the end customer, and all those things they were asking production to do were directly from the customer, and so we couldn't serve them like we wanted to, because production had this barrier of, hey, we do our job, we don't step outside of that, when in reality, we were trying to give, you know, exceptional service, but we couldn't do it without, you know, production needed to know who their customer was, and it was, you know, it was the sales and moving that forward, and that's how we could really serve them.
Absolutely.
So when they pull up that wall, it just would make it real, real, real tough for us to do our job right.
And the responsibility of that culture of world-class marketing is the founder, the CEO, the president, the person who's responsible for the total operation of that organization. They're responsible for developing a culture where people understand that, they thrive on doing their part, knowing that customer out there that's signing their paycheck is happy and served on time, and if they have to speed up, work a little harder to get something done to take care of the customer's needs, they do it. And their attitude is, we can do. So that's external marketing and internal customer orientation. So that'll come up again here in a minute. Okay, next is, there it is. I went backwards, that's why. Okay, we've been talking about it. That's internal customer orientation. Yes, they're in the organization. Any question about those two? Anything that confused you? Okay. And total quality. That's the culture of the company. Starts at the top, goes through everyone. That's going to be a high performing company. Everyone has that approach. Goal orientation. The goal certainly is to make the customer happy. The goal is to have the company be successful. And those two typically run hand in hand. Can't have one without the other. You're just focused on profits and not focused on the customer. You won't have profits long. If you're focused on the customer and goal to serve the customer, and yes, continue to grow and achieve and improve and develop your organization, your company, and your company's ability to produce, generate revenues, and goals will help that be accomplished. And what does President Monson say? For those that, he has a statement about this. A goal with, without a written goal, it's only a dream. Something that's probably wrong. But he has that statement he's always made of. Essentially, if you have something worthwhile to do, write it down, put it where you'll see it, and then do it. And if you don't, the reality is it's just a dream. And I could have words mixed up, but that's essentially what he has said. Okay, societal orientation. You understand society's needs and changes, and that's where you're fulfilling those. Okay, any question on any of these? Okay. Setting marketing objectives. We've talked so much about marketing. There are a lot of objectives that you can set to get to who you need to be and get to your customer. Many times they require adjustments. Right now we're in a real difficult time for the home building industry that has such a massive impact on our overall economy. But everyone in that industry is having to adjust. They're having to set new marketing objectives that they didn't have to even think about a couple of years ago. Or they're not going to be around. That's what happens when to industries when big changes happen. And that was a market that was so overheated and so hot and growing so fast, prices were increasing so fast, a correction had to happen, and it's happening. And so there has to be market objectives that will allow someone to get through it and around it. And over that big, big bump in the road they're facing, those that are in that industry, and all of the significant part of our economy that are affected by it. Okay, developing a forecast is good. That goes with that whole philosophy of without a written goal, it's just a dream. Set a sales forecast. Have a reason. Have it be realistic. Have a plan on how you're going to achieve it. And what's the reason for us being able to achieve it? What are we going to provide the customer? How many new customers do we have to get to achieve it? I use the example of our son-in-law, who has this high performing dental practice that just blows us away to see it all. It's just so incredibly efficient in how he does it. And he's constantly looking for new patients. He seems busy every time we're there. It's almost like, well, it looks to me like you can cancel all your ads and not even look for new patients. But the fact of the matter is, every business is having turnover of customers. They're turning over because they're moving. They're no longer available to you. They're turning over because, in his case, this happened. Some of them are dying from old age or
insurance.
Something else. Insurance could change. There are reasons why all businesses are turning over a percentage of their customers. They all are. You never say, oh, we have a good stable customer base. We don't have to worry about customers anymore. We worked hard. We've advertised for them. They're loyal to us. Well, you start thinking that way, you're going to start going backwards because there's always a turnover and losing customers for all kinds of reasons. Yes, Bill?
Well, you know, just like in life, the only time that you're staying still when you're dead.
That's right.
You know,
so
dead and the dying.
Develop a sales forecast. There's a need for it. That's just four words, but it could be all kinds of things. I know in our son-in-law's case, he has a number in his staff where they'd like to get X number of new patients a month. And he figures they need that to keep their machine growing. X number of new patients a month. So they're looking at ways to give great service to all their existing patients so their existing patients will refer their friends to keep that new, and they monitor, they know. You can ask him any time how do you, he knows exactly how many new patients they had the month before. And every business needs to focus on that. The sales forecast helps you do that. Okay? Okay, identifying target markets. We've talked a lot about that, and that's just a critical need to know who you're marketing to and why. Ed gave good examples of how they've done it by geography and starting in their backyard and then building out from there. A need for you that your products can satisfy, you need to have that, it needs to be there. Enough customers to generate greater profit, so your idea, that came up in idea evaluation yesterday. There needs to be enough. A willingness to spend and an ability to pay. And there are probably lots of products and services presented the right way that most would be willing to spend, but it might be so overpriced or out of their economic world that they couldn't pay. They couldn't, even though they'd like to. So you have to make sure you're in step with your customer in the market so that not only do they want to pay, but they can. They have the ability to. And you're targeting that customer that has the ability to pay for whatever it is you're doing. Okay, now we're going past the sweater marketer and going on to another part of the day. Okay. This is not, any questions on marketing now? We're probably almost tired of hearing all this marketing stuff that we've been going on for a day and a half. Yes.
I'd like to share a marketing strategy, which I think would apply to anyone who's in business or applies to any business, whether one is a mechanic or in the advising business, financial, or in our business or whatever. Yeah. It's worked very well for us. We've all heard of these silent auctions that they have at schools to raise funds for the school foundation or for nonprofit organizations like the Limb Preservation Organization.
Okay.
We have gone out of our way, and this has come through our customer base, to let people know, our customer base, that we will contribute a certificate worth X number of dollars. In our case, it's $100 to $150, a free carpet bag. And then it's bid on silently at these organizations. They have them annually or semi-annually. They really appreciate it. It generates funds for them. The person that buys it probably buys it at a discount. They call us, we come in, and we end up getting a $500 job, less the one or $150. We've hooked them in as a customer, they're satisfied. They give us referrals. It just blossoms. And we've done it with numerous elementary schools, with their foundations, with their PTAs. We've done it with many of the non-profit. Anyone, and they're coming out all the time, can you contribute, if they contact us, can you contribute to our silent auctions, a service, a product, a merchandise, get you in the door. You build that network and you build that business.
Excellent.
I'm thinking of the hot tubs. You know, he could offer a free service worth $150 to maintain or to do a service on a hot tub.
If
Carl started his mechanic business, he could offer a free inspection or whatever, you know.
That's right.
To the industry, it's paid for. He's
absolutely
going to sell it. It's working well for us.
Many industries use that, and it's an excellent tool. Marketing to build a long-term relationship, and certainly that's the purpose. You want that
one
engagement. You want the long repeat business in the future, and so you're wanting to perform so that you have the right to their future business.
Your profit margin on that first one
is good.
Slim to none.
Mm-hmm.
It's the long-term relationship.
That's right. That's
call you back each and every time. Yeah.
There are lots of ways. I'll tell you one of our quick stories. We used to be heavily involved with sports marketing. Sports marketing in the diamond industry is very, very good. And several of the marketing approaches we had were, the first one we did with the Broncos, we did it for years, where it was called Run Back for Diamonds. And so it was promoted within every Bronco game. Everyone did. So people would come into our locations, they'd have to come in there to sign up to win a free diamond. If their name was drawn for that game, and any Bronco ran back a kick for a touchdown, then they received, I think it was a half-carat diamond. But it was just a loose diamond, which obviously has value. But the reality was, one, hundreds and hundreds of people went into the stores to sign up. Sometimes they bought something while they were there signing up. And then the promotion hit within the game, where you get all the recognition of whoever was listening and the name recognition of our name giving away a free diamond if a Bronco ran back a touchdown. And then somebody, you know, would occasionally, isn't like they're running back touchdowns every game, but it does happen. And so, and they say that they will draw the name, and then over the air, KOA radios who did it, they would say, in today's game, Jerry O'Neill, if a Bronco runs back a touchdown, Jerry O'Neill wins a half-carat diamond from Jason Keepsay.
Yes.
Yeah. And so they'd run it back. Jerry would bring his certificate into one of our stores to get his half-carat diamond, and we'd happen to be ready to give it to him. Do you think he wanted to walk out of there with just a little one-carat or half-carat diamond in a little package? No, he wanted stuff to go with it. And so it's exactly as you say. It ended up being $1,000 of sales on top of the free diamond, and it wouldn't really make much, but you wouldn't lose what you thought you would.
Right.
Same thing in the Rockies. One year we had a deal where, same thing, only it was if you hit a Grand Slam home run. And that was during the Blake Street Bomber days. And that year, the Rockies set a record in Grand Slams in one season. And so we gave away a lot of diamonds. And we were happy about it. We would just assume they set a record every year. Because that giveaway, there were a lot of happy people, and there was a happy company there that was involved with that. And so you're right, Ed. Look for ways to engage your product or services with the public in a way that they're happy and the organization's happy, for the charitable example.
To win-win all the way around.
Yeah, and or in our case, KOA Radio was happy to be able to have those kind of offerings within their broadcast. So the listeners are getting value for listening to their broadcast. So there are lots of creative ways to market.
And you were getting free broadcast time.
Oh, sure.
Every time that
would have cost us some hundreds of dollars to pay for if we'd just been buying that time. That's right. That's right. So it was win-win for everyone. And that's what these things need to be. They need to be. But the company has to win to be involved with these various promotions. Yes, Joe.
You know, the other thing that I heard in what you said was you found one thing that worked and you stuck with it. It's not like you tried one thing and it worked, but then you went off and tried something different. You found something that worked and stuck with it.
That's right. And you end up, in that case, you end up owning that property of that within the broadcast of that game. And you had it for years. We had it until we sold our business. The other guys dropped it on somebody else. You'll hear other people, like Ralph Funk took most of them. Try, so that's good. Anyway, find those and stick with them. You're right. It's good. Any other comments, questions, suggestions? Okay.